Welcome to Beyond the Breakwater, where just beyond the crashing waves of fear, discomfort, and doubt lies the greatest potential for life transformation. We want to guide you into the open waters where the calculated risk you take becomes the turning point for you or your organization to thrive. So draw up your anchors and prepare for departure in this week's episode of Beyond the Breakwater. All right, welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Breakwater. This is another special episode. We've had the last couple kind of hit it off with Andre last week in South Africa, and we're back again this week with another special guest, and it is our 52nd episode, which I'm not great at math, but releasing these one a week. That is a whole year of podcasts.
Amazing.
Which is incredible. So thank you to our listeners who have been faithfully listening this whole time. If you're new, welcome. We're excited that you're here. So today we have Marcia Stamis on with us. We've mentioned over time about the Bridge Food Center, and Marcia is our manager. So Marcia, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And I'm Lindsay, and this is Ed.
Always great to be here.
Yeah, it's great. So let's jump into conversations. We've been having some listeners ask, like, okay, you guys have been talking a lot of concepts recently, but can you get into the nuts and bolts of what each of these ministries are? Okay. So before we do that, Marcia, who are you? What do you like? Where, do you have family here? Who is Marcia?
That's a great question. I grew up in Midland, so born and raised here. Went to high school all my life here, except I married my husband 14 days after I graduated high school.
Wow.
So he was in the Army, and so I went with him out to Virginia, and we spent 3 years out there. And then we came back to Midland with the understanding that we would be here just temporarily while he went to school and got his degree. And we are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary in June this year. So we stayed in Midland when we have two wonderful kids, Nick, who is 33, and our daughter, Jessica, who will be 31 this year. So they went to school here, and they are now both out on their own and doing very well. Mm. So I worked at Dow Corning for the majority of my career. Retired a year after Dow bought Dow Corning, and knew I would not have any issues finding something to do. But that was kind of, everybody always asks you that, right? What are you going to do when you retire? And I always wanted to try bonbons because people said sit and eat bonbons, but I never knew what one was, so I didn't do that. So that's how I got connected with the Bridge. Was just finding some volunteer opportunities. Trying to figure out what to do. But love family. My mom is still here and Jim's family. And we just love to be in the outdoors and hang out.
That's awesome.
Marcia, give us a time frame. When was that?
Yeah.
When
you retired and then you started
at the Bridge. I retired in 2017. I was volunteering at the Bridge a couple hours on Saturday while I was still working, just because I had heard about it. From church. And it was kind of funny. I just felt like it was one of those things when you have a management position, you can't really show what you produce at the end of the day. But when I was at the Bridge and I was stocking shelves, I felt like, oh, look, I can actually see what I did.
So what did you do at Dow Corning?
Have you heard the term jack of all trades? I'm a Jill of all trades is the term that they gave me. I did a little of everything. So I was in HR. I did not have an engineering degree, which is 90% of the people that were there. So I was in HR. I went through the whole Chapter 11 issue that Dow Corning had, working with the outside consultants. I worked in a lab at the plant. I was an IT project manager. Wow. I did a lot of different things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you didn't run a grocery store?
I did not run a grocery store. No. Okay. I like to eat.
So that was in 2017. The Bridge opened in 2016, right? Mm-hmm. So it had been open for that year. You kind of inherited it as managing it in 2017?
No.
Or that's just when, how, bring us to that point.
Yeah, so as I said, I was just volunteering a couple hours. And then I think it was later 2017 when Ed came and said, we need some people to like help out in managing the store, mm-hmm. like a day, mm-hmm. right? So I picked Thursday as my day that I would be at the bridge and I would open the store and close the store and, you know, help whatever needed to be done that day. I still remember Ed, I was like, how do you open the register and close the register and all that? So I'm like writing notes, right? And Ed's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm writing notes. He's like, why? I'm telling you. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to do it again for a little while and I might forget. So I'm taking notes. So I'm the procedure person and Ed is not.
Yes. Things haven't changed. They haven't changed. Still just walk you through it.
Yeah. So
and you're always writing things down.
I'm always writing things down. So I started just being a Thursday manager, okay. supervisor. And I did that for quite a long time. And then Ed got pulled in a different direction and needed some help with ordering supplies from our vendors. So somehow I ended up taking that over. So I was Thursday and ordering. And I don't know, I just never put 2 feet in. I put my whole self in. So all of a sudden I kind of just naturally ended up kind of being the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So bit by bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
It wasn't a conscious decision.
You were persuaded.
It happened. Yeah.
So I guess kind of back up for people who might be listening for the first time and they're hearing what a bridge, what is that?
What is that?
What's your summary? What is the bridge?
So the bridge is it's a food center. It's a grocery store that is run entirely by volunteers. And we mark our food up 5 cents over cost, which allows us to swipe a credit card. We tried a cash-only model, and I don't know about you guys, but I don't carry cash in my pocket. If I find a $5 bill, I'm pretty excited. So that nickel really only allows us to swipe the credit card. So, but even though we're a grocery store, I always tell them we're in the people business, not the food business. Food gets them in the door, and then we just get to love on our customers. Mm. So really, we're providing opportunities for people to put that high-quality affordable food on their tables, but we do that with the help of God.
Mm. And can anyone shop there?
Our target audience is what the term ALICE, which is asset limited, income constrained, employed. So the number that we use is less than $72,000 a year. So they're making too much money to get the state assistance from, you know, food stamps mm-hmm. or the bridge card. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
But just they're really one disaster away from falling into poverty or from not being able to make ends meet.
Mm.
So that's our real target audience. So if you make more than $72,000, we'd be happy to have you get involved in supporting the bridge, but it's not for you to shop at.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia, maybe talk for a minute about when you talk about food and you talk about it, you mentioned church and food. Oftentimes, I think perception is a little food pantry somewhere that, I mean, I was at one that was literally almost like in a shed behind the church. And I went and looked at it just not too long ago.
Yeah,
I think that's a perception of people. That's not really what the bridge is.
Correct. I think that is perception on everyone's part. So anybody that you mentioned, the Bridge Food Center, thinks of a food pantry. And there's a need for food pantries, and there's some great ones out there. But the image that people portray is that you're going to hand me something. I don't get to choose. It's limited. I only get what you're going to give me. It's probably outdated, maybe dented cans or things like that's the image that I think people have in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement is when I talk to people about the bridge, get in here and see it, right? So we just recently moved on January 30th to a larger location. But to reference our previous location, help me out, it was about 3,000 square feet.
About.
Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, we had 4 aisles that you could put carts in both ways, and we had shelves and things were labeled well, and nothing is outdated at the bridge. Mm-hmm. We work really hard to make sure that there's nothing expired on the shelves. And it's people hesitate to go to a place that's going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So the bridge is really all about come in and let us just help you maintain your dignity. You get to come in. You get to choose the items that you want, as many as you want, and pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a bonus section that is donated by the community. So then that is how we bridge the gap. And that's mm-hmm. really where the name, the Bridge Food Center, came from, is how do we bridge the gap for a group of people that doesn't get assistance or even want assistance mm-hmm. from others, because they're very independent, very prideful, and wanting mm-hmm. to do it on their own. So we just enable that at the Bridge.
Talk about some of those products too, because I think I've had people walk in that I've brought to just like, come and see this. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. And people are shocked that it's not just canned foods. So what kind of products do you have there yeah. that might surprise people to what they might be imagining?
Right. So in our mission statement, it's high quality, affordable food, right? So you can have high quality canned goods, but it's still in a can. Mm. And we have plenty of that. We also have our boxed goods and so on. But our first thing as you walk in the door is fresh produce, anywhere from celery and carrots and lettuce and apples and oranges, things like that. So people are able to purchase high quality fruit. I would say our biggest seller is meat. Mm-hmm. So we have burger and pork loin and chicken breast and chicken thighs and chuck steaks and New York strips that we buy in bulk. And we actually have a meat packing room in our new location. And so we vacuum seal that into manageable size quantities. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to buy a 20-pound thing of burger to get a great price. You can buy a pound of burger at that same price. Mm-hmm. Nickel over. We've got 24 doors of freezer space. We have 20 doors of refrigerator space compared to 6 and 8 at the other store. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of room to grow in this new location. And you don't have to start that big if you're mm-hmm. listening to this going, how did you right. do that? We didn't start there. Right. But we've got eggs and lunch meat and pizzas and all sorts of things that mm-hmm. you can make your meals at the Bridge Food Center very affordably.
Yeah. And so kind of talking about that progression from where it was, because it started out with what you started out with 52 different products.
52 pallets.
Pallets.
Gosh. Yeah. I'm really bad at this guessing thing. I was doing wrong.
Create so a just, number, just but we'll tell you what it is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so now you're up to how many?
We have over 1,500 products.
Yeah, that's a huge scaling up.
It is.
But it took the starting small, and it took it with those products like they were on pallets in the initial 3,000 square foot mm-hmm. building mm-hmm. and then you grew and you brought in shelves and
right.
so you've kind of doctored it up as it's gone on.
Yes.
But now moving into this new space, how big is the new space?
Ed can correct me on this, but probably 16,000 square feet retail space.
Okay.
And then we've got a warehouse attached in the back of that. And we've got walk-ins in the back of that. And we have a dock so we can get trucks now for our products. So 3 times bigger the retail mm-hmm. space of what we had before.
And what has that growth allowed you to do differently than when you were in the smaller
so
location?
So we are able to carry a lot more products than we did before. Before, when we wanted to try something new, we were like, what's slow selling? Let's get rid of that so mm-hmm. that we have room on the shelf for something new. And we talk to our customers all the time. And they ask now, they're like, hey, do you have mm-hmm. fill in the blank, right? And so we're able to look and get the options that our customers want. We can't get everything. We're not a specialty store. We don't have a ton of gluten-free products and it's hard to even sometimes to get sugar-free or mm-hmm. low sodium, but those kind of things. But we do have some of those options, but just more, right? Mm-hmm. We also have a section of cleaning products, personal care products, kitchen products like can openers. I can't tell you how many people would come in and go, do you have a can opener? Like, y'all buy a can of corn, but I don't have a way to eat it because I didn't have a can opener. So we carry can openers, baking pans, just things that kind of go along with the basic needs of setting up the household. Who doesn't like a brand new cookie sheet? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the other one you is just old. So for $3, you can get a new cookie sheet.
And from what I've heard from you, too, over time is like this new space has kind of reframed some of your thinking as far as like how you've partnered with people in the community who have said, hey, we've got this many frozen turkeys. Can you take them? And you're like, no, where am I going to put all of these? Right. And you're like, wait a second, we're in a much bigger building.
Yes.
So what are some of like the talk about that community partnership, because that might be a foreign idea to people as well.
Yeah. So I think the Bridge, again, when you're small, you start out with
what you know at the time, and it grows. I think my first example
of that was at the old store a few years ago. I was at church, and there was somebody wandering around the church, and they kind of looked lost. So I just engaged them in conversation, and of course, it eventually turned to the bridge. And he said, "Oh, do you need potatoes?" And I'm like, "I don't. could you expand on that?" Well, he works at Michigan State University. You know, they're a agricultural school, and he said that they have fields of potatoes, and they harvest them at harvest season. They wash them all up, they weigh them, and then they throw them away. And I was like, wait, what? And so now we get two big, I think they're called Gaylords, right? That they put the big pumpkins in or whatever. We get two of those every fall with potatoes. Now, that's not something that I would have ever thought of. Ed, you would have never thought of that. But
nor did we have the space for
that. We put it in a pole barn somewhere the first year we got potatoes. We just took one. And so I think the more we talk to people, the more that people have
their own connections that would work and align with the bridge. So the farmer's market is a great example. So we go down on Wednesdays at our local farmer's market towards close.
And some of the vendors don't have a market the next day and they want to move their stuff. And so they donate it to us. And so anything given to the bridge is given back. Community gardens. People do community gardens. And we already had our first community garden team come in and be like, what do you want us to plant? You know, what do your customers want?
New.
Right? They're asking input on what they can plant that our customers would like.
And it's great because fresh produce is expensive. And so
almost every visit that our customers come in, they get fresh produce and fresh bread. And it comes, we partner with Hidden Harvest, who is a local supplier of food rescue. And so they bring us supplies, and that's how we bridge the gap for people. So they buy their groceries, whatever they want. And then we're like, great job. Here's some bread. Pick some tomatoes. Here's a bonus item, right?
Yeah. Explain the bonus section. Where does that come into play for the customer, the shopper?
Yeah. So it's kind of two different pieces. So as I mentioned, the bread and produce comes from
Hidden Harvest and or local people that have too big of gardens or, you know, Michigan is a pretty short growing season, but when we're in abundance at times.
So everybody gets that. The bonus section comes in when they actually, based on how much they spend. If they spend $10, they get to pick an extra bonus item. They spend $20, they get two. If they spend $30 or more, they get three. So that is, again, it's donated. So one group just did a Better Together donation for the bridge, and they did peanut butter and jelly, right? So we have a bunch of peanut butter and a bunch of jelly.
But you know what? Those are expensive items. And so if you can get peanut butter and jelly for free, that's something that you don't have to buy. So, again, those bonus items just help bridge the gap and fill in some of the gaps for them.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot. I just bought a jar of peanut butter the other day for $6.18.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's tough when it's your favorite food.
Right. Some customers will actually go out of the store with more than what they paid, right? So we had a customer the other day that bought $5.04 worth of items. And we're like, hey, would you like some cucumbers? And would you like a loaf of bread?
And he's like, really? I only spent $5. And I'm like, I know, but everybody gets this. So he didn't qualify for a bonus item, but he still went out with extras.
And even a loaf of bread, it can be $5, $6.
Yeah. So that some of the tensions you're bringing up right now of like charging for something and you have the bonus section where things are being given for free. We've had listeners who have had like food drives around Christmas time or food pantries, and they've been listening and also kind of like now that they've heard this concept of dignity, they're serving at their food pantry and they're seeing some of these dynamics play out of like, okay, we're seeing people literally have to swallow their pride to take what we are giving them for free. And the question being like, how do you know at the bridge that people truly are better off for charging? Like, how do you know that they're happier? How do you know that their lives are better off by making the unaffordable affordable versus like, wouldn't they be just as happy if you gave it away for free?
Yeah, that's a great question. Do we have some customers that would love more free stuff? Of course. Who doesn't love free?
But
the majority of our customers, honestly, they tell us. They're like, their
jaws hit the floor when you tell them what their total is, mm-hmm. right? Or they went to a new customer will come into the bridge and they're like, I just went to fill in the blank store and spent $100 and I walked out with two plastic bags worth of groceries. And at the bridge, $100 is going to get you a cart full of mm-hmm. groceries, right? It's going to get you
a lot more meals, a lot more for your money. So mm-hmm. customers will tell us that. Like, mm-hmm. are you kidding? I don't know how you do this, but
thank you for doing it. Mm-hmm. That word thank you comes out a lot. Mm. And it has to do with dignity.
Yeah.
That they can come in and choose what they want. Mm-hmm. And they tell us. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just and the body language. And they come back. There's a great one. Right. They come back.
Right.
We have regular customers that are in every week. Mm. We have a couple customers that come in almost every day, I think.
Because they love the atmosphere of the bridge. We get to know our customers. I mean, you probably all have your favorite grocery store and cashier or whatever,
right? Mm. And so we get to know our customers. They share what's going on in their life. We take whatever opportunity we can to listen. Mm. We share other resources in the community mm-hmm. that we know of that may help them. We even take the opportunity and pray with them when mm-hmm. that opportunity arises, whether it be by the produce aisle or out in the parking lot or mm-hmm. wherever it is. If that opportunity arises, we'll take it
because mm-hmm. it is a ministry.
Yeah.
It's about the people. Food just gets them in the door.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you went there. That was kind of where I wanted to head next, is like talking about the ministry. And one of my favorite things about you, Marcia, is how you care for people, and you always have a story. I feel like you are always someone who, both of you do this very well, of just being curious where God might be leading you. And like, sometimes it leads to really awesome connections and like the guy being lost around the church and that turning into a partnership for potatoes.
And you can't make this stuff up.
No, no. And that's why in this podcast, we've just encouraged people like really, really be curious about who you're interacting with and what God might have for you there. But mm-hmm. I want to stay in this ministry piece for a bit. So can you share like what's your current favorite story to share with people right now about the bridge?
Oh, one that just happened in the last week or two. And I don't know, I can't say that it's a ministry piece, but I think that it's, again, you have to get to know people mm-hmm. in order for them to believe what you have to say,
right? Mm-hmm. We're not forcing Jesus on anybody. Mm-hmm. But if the opportunity arises for us to share, why do you do what you do, Marcia? Because God brought me here,
yeah,
right? But we had a customer that said, you need a bench for people to wait on for public transportation. And I was like, oh, you're right. We have a fair number of customers that take public transportation. And you've got your bags of groceries and, you know, winter in Michigan and whatever. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea. I said, would you put it outside? He said, no, it mm-hmm. needs to be inside in case the weather's inclement or whatever. And I said, oh, okay. He said, well, I make benches. Can I bring you an 8-foot bench? And I'm like, you make benches? And he said, yeah. And I said, I don't want an 8-foot bench. I don't think I quite have room for that. But something smaller would be nice, like right here. And he said, yeah. And I came in the next week and it was there. And so this bench sits there. And, you know, nobody else knows the story of that other mm-hmm. than who I get to tell about that bench. And I don't even know the guy's name. So if you're listening to this, thank you for the bench. I didn't have a chance to say thank you. But this is one of our customers.
Yeah.
Right? So we're not out there being like, hey, do you have money? Will you give us money to buy a bench? Mm. I mean, sometimes there's opportunities like that. But our customer was able to
give what he had to give mm-hmm. in consideration of other people. Mm-hmm. This group of people that we have, this Alice population,
they're people just like anybody else. And they love being able to give. Mm. And to help others. If someone's short a dollar in the checkout line, that person behind them is the first one to pull a dollar out of their pocket mm-hmm. and say, here, let me get that for you. Mm-hmm. That's big. Mm-hmm. That's big when you're on a budget. So I just continue to see that the love of people.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't just come from our volunteers, but it comes from our customers to other customers and to us. We have customers that will bake us baked goods mm-hmm. and bring that to us because they just love the store and love, you know, the opportunity to come in.
So that ministry piece, I there's probably a million stories that I could tell. And I just think that it's, here's one more that I just thought of. Yeah. So we had a customer come in. She has a little girl and cutest little booger. She is so fun. She comes in. She'll actually tell her mom, can we go to the bridge to see Marsha?
So she comes in and she's just always looking around like, you know, can she find me? So as soon as we see each other, it's like a run and hug opportunity.
And so I caught them right at the very front as they came in and got my hugs and chatted with the little girl for a little bit and then started talking with mom and could just tell, right? Body language sometimes you can just tell, or facial expressions, you're just like, how are you? And she's just like, oh, I'm not good. I mean, most people will say fine, right? She's like, I'm not good. And I said, can you share with me what's going on? And so she did. I mean, we probably spent 20 minutes there listening to her story of what was going on. And it's hard. I mean, this is a very hard story. And we got done and I just said, can I pray for you? And so I get emotional when I pray. So I just held her hands. Actually, we hugged. I hugged her. I just prayed for her. And she came away. We both were wiping our eyes. And she said, do you know what? That is the second time that anybody has ever prayed for me.
Wow.
And you were the first.
Wow.
And the second.
Wow. Wow.
Like, I don't know what her true belief is, right, in Christ, but we're a touch point, right? I was taught that a long time ago that it is not my job as a Christian to convert somebody else to be a Christian. It is my job to take the opportunity to share what I know and the Jesus I love and let God touch their heart and take them through to that. So, like, to be a part of that is amazing. Is that every day? No, but
those are the things that stick.
Quite regularly,
it is fairly regular.
Thank you for doing what you do and for being who you are.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you shared that. That was really, really well said. And I think I've heard this. You and I had kind of talked a few weeks ago about sharing this opportunity with other people and other churches. Like, come be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And you had said the line of like, all right. You can come and serve at the bridge, but you are not here to convert people. And you just see like this very visible response in the audience of like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like that's our whole job. That's what we're supposed to do. That is the tension that we have of like, we're supposed to do this and do it immediately in whatever way, shape and form that we can. Mm-hmm. But just hearing that and hearing, no, like let God do that piece. Mm-hmm. You show up. I want you to show up and I'm going to speak through you and use you. And so that I feel like is just an incredible testimony to what that relationship could look like for the listeners, for the churches, for the leadership, thinking of like, why would we start a food ministry? Why does the church have any business in doing something like this? One, to care for people and feed people, because that is something that everybody like should be entitled to is eating. And then to just have those touch points to hear about their life, to have the people that come into the bridge every single day. I don't remember the last time I wanted to go to the grocery store every single day.
Right.
And so that is
I've never brought cookies for a grocery store.
You've right to your grocery store workers.
I mean, like when people bring cookies into the bridge and say, this is for all of you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When's the last time we ever brought a gift to a grocery store?
Yeah.
Never.
I don't think I ever have, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the tagline of the bridge is what? Run for the community, by the community?
Run by the community, for the community.
And so just having that, like truly that dynamic of people wanting to be involved and partner with the bridge, both shoppers and vendors and volunteers, and just hearing it be a place that is like, I don't know, my greatest dream of living on a commune. It's like you just have everybody taking care of one another.
Right.
And it's just beautiful. So Ed, you've been awfully quiet. Is there anything you want to add to this or ask Marsha?
I think it's an amazing ministry just to be a part of. It's fun to hear you talk about it. Mm-hmm. That was such a special time when you came along. And I still remember that time, the transition point, because I was called to another one of our community ministries. Pivot Point had lost its manager. And I remember we had that meeting, and I said, well, I'm just going to be gone for a short time, and then I'll be back. And you said, no, you won't. We got this.
We got this.
And I remember that. We got this. Mm-hmm. And that was it was a huge day that changed everything. And you began to run with it, and I just slid out of the picture and just let you run. And it's been so mm-hmm. fun just to watch what it's become. And it's mm-hmm. certainly not over.
Mm-hmm. No. So, no, it's not.
You've done amazing, Marcia. Mm-hmm. And I think you've done an amazing ministry into the community. You've done a great job serving the community, serving the volunteers, giving opportunities to so many people, mm-hmm. working with the vendors. I mean, everything that you do, and there's so many people. I know we're going to get into nuts and bolts in the yeah. next one.
Yep.
But there's so many people that you come in contact with every day through food. It's been really fun for me to watch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So we said we would get into the nuts and bolts of things. We'll save that for the next episode. I was just kind of thinking as this conversation was going on, like we're not getting into what we said we were going to. But I think it is just really important for listeners to hear your heart. They've heard Ed speak about it a lot. But I think it just has like a very special place to you. Mm-hmm. And for people to see and hear what that is like. We can talk all day long about the concepts and the ideas and those nuts and bolts, but I think people will come up with every single objection as to why they should not do it. But it is hearing stories like that and like ministry moments where you can intersect with people and like show them what it looks like for someone to care for them. Yeah. It's like when they hear that story, it's like you're going to think of every reason why you should be doing it and overcome all of the reasons that you wouldn't be. So we'll jump into the next episode. We always give listeners something to do before they go. Ed, you got anything?
Well, I think for this one, they should just go on the website.
Yeah.
And so direct them to the website. They should go look at pictures because it's one thing to talk about it. Mm. It's one thing to actually see the pictures and go, oh my goodness, this is what it looks like now.
Yeah.
And just a reminder to everybody, that's not where we started. Mm-hmm. And right. you always have to recognize where we started, because we started with, you know, the simple little cash registers because we didn't know if this concept was going. We started with cash only because mm-hmm. we didn't know if it was going to work. And
pallets.
We've come along, and 52 pallets, mm-hmm. and all the way till where it is now. So mm-hmm. I think they should go check it out.
Yeah. The website is thebridgemidland.com, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Yikes. All right. Great. We will see everybody next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Beyond the Breakwater, a podcast of Elevate Community Ministries. Don't let the conversation stop here. You can email us at hello@beyondthebreakwater.org. We would love to chat with you, answer questions, plan a visit, and help you take your next step. We'll see you next week.